The art world waits with great anticipation for the unveiling of a masterpiece. When a fine antique or other fine craftsmanship falls into disrepair and is finally restored, its admirers will gasp with appreciation when they see the work restored to its original glory. Now, as God's creation, is it really any different with us? When He rescues us from the path of destruction, aren't we told that the angels rejoice in heaven? Well, today, we're going to talk to a masterpiece who has just been restored and get her take on what life might look like in the aftermath on License to Parent. Hello, and welcome to License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a residential program helping teens in crisis from all around the world. Our host on License to Parent is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill, and I'm Rich Rosel. And Trace, we often talk about the fact that one of our goals here at Shepherd's Hill is to unplug the kids who come here from all of the negative and harmful influences, whatever those may be, and restore them to their original factory setting so that they can become, once again, the young men and the young women that God made them to be.
Yeah, I like the way you say that, returning them to their original factory settings. Hit the reset button, allow the Holy Spirit to do the work, and let that masterpiece be developed over time.
Well, joining us in our studio today is, in fact, one of those masterpieces. We didn't make her a masterpiece. God did. But God also remade her over her time here at Shepherd's Hill. And in order to protect her privacy, she's going to be going by the name Sarah today. Sarah came to Shepherd's Hill 13 months ago at the age of 16, and now at the age of 17, she's about to graduate and return home and, among other things, we understand, celebrate Christmas with her family. We're actually recording this conversation a month or so before you're probably hearing it, and Sarah's going to be leaving here in a matter of days and arriving home just in time for Christmas.
And Sarah, it is a pleasure to watch you come along and develop into the image of the Lord. Welcome to the License to Parent broadcast.
Oh, thanks.
Listen, you've been a tremendous example, I think, to the rest of the girls in your time here. I've seen you go from just an average young lady in the culture to now you're wearing a glow, and I really appreciate that. Before coming to Shepherd's Hill, what did life look like for Sarah?
Oh, wow. Well, I would definitely say just chasing after things that I thought would make me happy, and you know, it's nothing new. You know, there's, you know, you think that you, like, the world promises all these things and that'll make you happy, and mm-hmm. you know, you go after it, or you think partying or having a lot of friends is going to make you happy or fulfilled, and you know, by the end of the day, you're just left with nothing. And you know, that affected a lot. It affected my relationship with my parents. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just dying, and so it was just, I was lost for sure. But
how is that relationship now with your parents? What changed?
Oh, wow. Well, definitely it's turned around completely, to say the least. I mean, I would say a perspective thing, like seeing how much they mean to me, or you know, when you come here, you kind of lose everything and you see what really matters and yeah. who really cares. And you know, your parents, they're sending you letters every day, and yeah. you end up missing them so much. And like, you know, at first it's hard, but you realize, wow, I actually miss my parents. And so
I was about to say, when you first came here, probably the thought of missing your parents was not at the top of your list.
Not exactly.
How did you feel about them when you first got here?
I was, you know, I was in shock. Like, I can't believe they did this. I was angry, you know. It seemed like something they wouldn't do, or yeah. like, how could they do this to me? But, you know, that kind of subsided once I realized it was out of love, and I just wanted to be with them.
How did you respond? How did you react when you found out that you were going to be probably, what, 800 miles from home for the next year?
Well, I mean, it didn't really, I don't know. My parents have been saying for a while, you know, if you keep acting up, you might go to boarding school. And I didn't believe them or anything. But I don't know. It surprised me that, wow, Georgia? Like, you know, being all the way from Texas, that's yeah. it's totally different. You know, at first, it was just kind of crazy.
Now, everything's so small around here compared to Texas.
That's
you
right.
just can't keep up.
Yes. That's right. Now you're getting ready to graduate
And yes, sir.
You've been here, I think Rich said 13 months, mm-hmm. 13, almost 14 months.
I remember the day we dropped. Oh, wait, I wasn't here. I'm sorry.
Are you excited about going home?
Oh, yes, sir. Definitely.
Yeah. Scared?
A little, yeah.
Yeah? What are you scared about?
You know, I don't know. You go on home visits and stuff, and you kind of just see, like, before you go on home visits, you think, oh, it's going to be so easy. I have everything together. And then you realize, you know, things are still the same out there. Mm-hmm. I've changed a lot, but things are still the same. Yeah. And I'm still going to be faced with, you know, same people, same same stuff.
How do you plan to deal with that?
You know, I guess just like staying close to the Lord, you know, that's been a really big thing for me. Like, I know there wouldn't be any way mm-hmm. that I could, like, or even really a reason to stay away from things if it wasn't for God. And mm-hmm. Just kind of knowing, like, reminding myself that that's not going to, like, fulfill me at all. And,
were you a believer when you arrived?
I grew up as a Christian. You know, I went to summer camps mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But, you know, during my, you know, my phase, I really kind of fell away big time, mm-hmm. like, started doubting. My mind kind of started getting, like, polluted by yeah. different beliefs and kind of thinking, oh, wow, maybe that's it. And thinking, you know, this whole God thing is kind of a waste of my time. Mm-hmm. Like, so.
What role did entertainment, movies, digital technology take in maybe pulling you away from what your parents valued and believed in?
I would say just distracted me, you know, made everything look pretty, made everything mm-hmm. look fun, and I don't know, definitely just changes your perspective on what life is and how, like, life is supposed to be like, and just paints a picture that it's, you know, deceiving.
Mm-hmm. Now, a minute ago, you were saying that you felt that you were distracted by these other, you know, other ideals, other ideologies other than Christianity. That's not uncommon for mm-hmm. teenagers. You were 16 when you came here. Aside from, you know, Trace just asked about digital technology and the entertainment industry, but what about other influences? Were your friends pulling you away, perhaps, or what?
Oh, definitely. I would, you know, my friends, some of the, I have some really good friends. I'm really blessed to have
sure.
good friends, but I did start hanging out with a group that, you know, they would kind of bash Christianity a lot, or, you know, oh, I believe, you know, there's, I'm agnostic. I believe there's a superpower, but, you know, just things like that. But, mm-hmm. and so I would definitely say my friends had a role in, like, telling me their perspective. But, you know, of course, I listen to them. And I used to be, like, kind of defending my Christianity all the time until, all my friends were against me. And I realized, oh, like, maybe they're right. And so.
What is your stay at Shepherd's Hill and out of the culture for, virtually out of the culture for a year, done for your ability to respond to some of the more difficult questions about life and reality and God and whatnot?
I mean, I just taking me away from it. And, you know, we sit on the porch and have deep discussions and talks, and we're not on our phones, we're not listening to, you know, discussing music or anything. You know, it's real. We're actually here and present. After a while, you kind of start to, like, really appreciate that time. In fact, that's probably one of the biggest things I'm going to miss is the peace and quiet and, like, the quality time we spend together. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, it just showed me that there is life outside of that, and sure. real life. And so
have you done anything, have your parents done anything to help prepare you to keep some margin in your life when you go back home, to where, you know, you will be able to take a few minutes every day to focus on the deeper things of life?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, me and my parents, we have a pretty close relationship now, and we do have, you know, pretty deep talks a lot. My parents are talkers, but they...
I like your parents, by the way.
Yeah, but they, I don't know, they encourage definitely having quiet time. And, you know, I think they'd, rather me go do a devotional instead of watching TV or something.
Sure.
And, you know, that's almost become a habit now. And I definitely think they'll encourage it.
Mm-hmm. I realize this program is airing after Christmas, but right now we're about 3 weeks out from Christmas. How will this Christmas be different from Christmases in the past? Mm-hmm. Now, you'll be celebrating this Christmas at home, not counting last Christmas, which you celebrated here. How will this Christmas be different than the Christmases 2 years ago and beyond?
Well, I would say a lot different. I would say a couple years ago, it was all about, oh, what am I going to get on Christmas? You know, the gifts. And, you know, I didn't really actually care about, like, the family time. My family likes to go out of town for New Year's, and I always got so mad. I wanted to be at home. You know, it's just kind of just a crazy time. But, like, this year, I can't even explain how excited I am. You know, I'm going to be home, and that, you know, that family time, that's so valuable, yeah. So precious. And I think it'll be even more precious on Christmas. And yeah.
Now, when you got here last year, you spent Christmas here and had only been here a couple of months. Mm. What's it like to be away from your parents for Christmas at 16 years old? What was your experience here at Shepherd's Hill? Was it a nasty Christmas? Was it totally ruined? Or?
Not at all. It was probably one of the best Christmases I've ever had, actually.
It's crazy because I hear kids say that all the time. I'm a little hesitant to say that. I don't want to hurt parents' feelings. You know,
I was imagining coal in the stockings and, you know, chain gang making them work. And
so what was it that made it palatable for you?
Well, all the girls were just together, and, you know, it was really, like, hard, the idea of, I'm not going to be home for Christmas. It was hard to deal with at first, but I think the fact that we were all going through it, and we all just, like, really came together, and we're like, you know what, well, we're going to make the best out of it. We're each other's family, like, for the year, so.
Forever now.
Yeah, and so, you know, we got really close that week, and we were in the next up house, and we cooked for Christmas, and we, you know, our parents, like, got to send us presents, and it was really fun, though.
Now, you mentioned next up house. There are probably a lot of people that don't realize who listen to this broadcast that the kids that stay at Shepherd's Hill for the better part of a year live in basically Gilligan's Island in the woods.
I mean, they build very rustic structures out in the woods that they build themselves.
Right, glorified tents, basically. Yeah. So I wanted to clear that up.
What is Next Step House? That's something that the students move into at a certain point, or what?
Right. Sarah, I'll let you explain that.
Next Step is it's kind of the program after the Woods program. You move out of woods. Well, you're eligible at 9 months. And then you move out of the woods, you move into the Next Step House. And so now you have a house, running water, air conditioning. It's really nice. It comes with new privileges, new responsibilities. It's kind of like the fine tuning process before you leave. It's kind of a transition period.
Mm-hmm. And these are privileges that you've earned during the first 9 months, because you said you're eligible. So I'm guessing there may be some students who don't make it.
There have been.
By 9 months. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, absolutely have been. And what has been your experience in the Next Step House?
Next Step, you know, it's been awesome. Like, I love Next Step, but I would say, like, it definitely comes with harder times, because more room to get in trouble, because it is, like, less girls in Next Step. So you're more watched, you're more, you know, observed. And so things do come out more, which is, like, which now, you know, I see, which is awesome. It's a blessing for that stuff to come out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it has its challenges, and extra responsibility comes with extra room to mess up. Yeah. And so, yeah.
So it's fulfilling its design, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been awesome.
We're going to take a break now on Licensed to Parent. We're talking with Sarah, who is a student here at Shepherd's Hill, soon to be graduate within like a week or so from our recording time. And we're, again, as we've done several times on the program, trying to get an insider's look at life inside the gates of Shepherd's Hill, give you as a parent a teen's perspective. Back with more conversation with Sarah right after this. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face-to-face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting licensedaparent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at licensedaparent.org. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. Welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. And today we are talking with a teen who is not in crisis. In fact, she is ready to spring herself on the world. Her name is Sarah. She's been here at Shepherd's Hill as a student for the past 13 months, but will be graduating in just a couple of weeks, and so we decided to nab her while there was still a chance, right? Because when she gets away, she may never write home again. I don't know.
Well, we do have a lot of kids that do come back, and matter of fact, three students came back for our annual barn dance. Now, that barn dance thing is something that just I haven't figured out yet.
I've never told me about this.
Okay, well, I've never been invited.
Here.
I don't know if you'd want to be, but I attended this one long enough to get some good grub, but I would never believe that a bunch of girls who come from hip-hop and rap and rock, you know, backgrounds and being entertained by some of the hocus-pocus that's out there today could actually enjoy fiddle, bluegrass, hoedown music. We call it our barn dance. The girls, they make their own 18th century costumes. You guys took on names too and all that stuff.
Oh, yes, sir.
And you just dance your socks off till midnight and make shoe fly pie and all these different dishes. Tell me about that. Tell me about your experience. How you felt about doing all that.
Barn dance is definitely something we look forward to all year round. It's kind of crazy how much we get into it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We dance all night, and there's hay, and there's a ton of food, which all the girls love food. But it definitely shows all the girls like how much fun you could have without any alcohol, drugs, like anything like that. It's such pure fun, but it's like such fun.
Yeah, and there's no hangover the next day. Then did you make your own outfit too?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. What was your name?
My name was Honey Brocklehurst from Jane Eyre.
But, okay. Sarah, you went on a trip to Washington, D.C. and got tours, behind-the-scenes tours of the inner workings of the Beltway. How did that affect your passion for America? And did you have that same passion before you came to Shepherd's Hill or maybe went on the trip?
It definitely gave me a new perspective of America and just you know, seeing our leaders, seeing our roots even. You know, we saw a lot of the memorials, a lot of, there's a lot of Christian, roots.
Foundation
that we have. And I think that's easily forgotten. And, it was really cool to see how much influence Christians have on America. It's definitely just been around forever and made who we are, given us our freedom.
Yeah, you know, the thing that really upsets me, I've lived a lot longer than you have, is to see what we as a people have done with the freedom that our Christian faith has given our country. And then we've taken that very freedom to spit on Christianity. You know, it's like I'm just wanting to hear Jesus look down on us and say, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. And that's really the truth. But what would you like to see change in America that would give your generation a better chance of pursuing the American dream?
I would definitely say just bringing back those Christian moral standards. You know, I'd say we get a lot of our laws and everything from, you know, Christian principles. And I'd like to see some of that come back in kind of giving God the glory and not just thinking we did it all or, you know.
Yeah. Maybe give reason for God to bless America again, right? Maybe
this is an off the wall question, but have you ever given thought to how you can do that personally in the workplace?
After the trip, I really considered, you know, I have a voice. I can change things, you know, and even things like voting or getting people to vote or, you know, telling people the truth and having those discussions, and like the hard, awkward discussions, you know, I think it is important. You can make a difference everywhere, not just, you know, D.C.
And you've probably heard me remind you, and I think I've said it on the air, Jesus changed the world with 12 and no internet. And so if you go out and become a butcher, baker, or candlestick maker, make a good candle, make a good cake, you know, cut a good piece of meat, and people are going to want to know what makes you tick. And if you continue to perform before the audience of one, your God, then God will everything you do will become a ministry. You don't have to be working for a church or something like that, be a good auto mechanic, you know, or whatever, a good homemaker, a good mom. Of course, you want to have a good husband first, right? That's part of the deal.
I'm curious, now that you've been at Shepherd's Hill for a while, and again, outside of what your friends may have done or said to influence you about guys you should date or a future husband, for example, if that's in your future, what do you think most teenage girls are looking for and should be looking for in a future husband?
I mean, I'd say girls right now are, you know, more looking for, you know, money or, you know, they want a good life or whatever. But I think a lot of times we settle for someone who's not the best or just because, you know, maybe we think that's what we want. But, you know, I'd say like it's changed a lot. Being here, my idea of a good husband has changed. You know, someone who loves the Lord, puts the Lord over me and, you know, leads me. And that, you know, that's something that's not really in our culture a lot, that, you know, your husband is like the leader of the family. And these days it is like women want power. They like having power over men. But, you know, I think it's so different whenever you find a guy who has a certain authority over you, I guess, you know, and
someone you can trust, though.
Definitely. So, yeah.
What do you think most teens, most of your friends even, wish that their parents really understood about them, but you guys all know that your parents just don't get it?
You know, I would definitely just think, I just think of times when I'm like, you don't understand, you know, we wish that they could be in our shoes, that they don't even know what it's like, or just high school in general, I think, you know, what it's like to be in temptation, what it's like to have all these things right at your fingertips, you know, and that's kind of an awkward topic to talk about with your parents. You know, this is really hard for me, Mom, you know, but I feel like a lot of times it's kind of just pushed down and kids take it upon themselves to deal with those type of things. But
social media and getting advice from other kids who are just as inexperienced as the kid trying to get the advice.
Yeah. And of course, the access to pornography, the access to any movie you want to watch, the access to
violence and weirdos on social media.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a big problem with all that.
It is interesting to me because what parents wish their teens understood most about them, I think, is that in large part, we do get it. Mm-hmm. Even though we didn't have all of those same things, we didn't have the internet, we were still teenagers. And the Bible tells us that we've been faced with, you know, same temptations time and time again since the beginning of history.
Right.
They look different.
Yeah.
The temptations do, but yet we've all faced those things and that God has never given us a temptation, that he has not also given us the power to get beyond. And I think parents probably wish that teens understood that, but I've had these exact same conversations with my teens and, you know, we've both had to remind each other about the differences in the situation, maybe. But,
Well, Sarah, how has your stay at Shepherd's Hill changed your view of how you will raise your kids?
Oh, quite a lot. Because, you know, seeing those parents, I always thought, okay, I'm gonna be a cool mom like that. I want my kids to like me, like, you know, whatever. But I'd say there's definitely a difference between, you know, what a parent should really be like in that, you know, because the staff here, they're our authorities for this year. And, you know, they just kind of, you know, balancing out the authority in the relationship. Like, they're both important, you know, but I'd say the moment that you start leaning more to one side, then that's when problems start. You know, you have to find a balance of, you know, showing tough love, but mm-hmm. not showing too much love, but not showing too much tough.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Pretty insightful language from a young lady like you. Mm-hmm. What is your generation looking for out of life most?
Just, you know, satisfaction.
What does satisfaction look like, though?
I mean, I'd say satisfaction looks like happiness, laughs, and, you know, money, and just having everything you want.
Material goods.
Yeah, materials. And so, yeah.
How effective do you think Christian parents are in creating an awareness and an interest and a pursuit of God in the eyes of their kids?
I mean,
in today's world.
Yeah, I would definitely say, you know, not just like saying all these things, but not just talking about God, not just having, okay, devotionals, you know, really living it out, you know.
Modeling.
Yeah. So just mm-hmm. living out the Christian life and being that example of what a Christian should be.
Sure. Well, I hope our parents are hearing that. In general, what's the church's biggest mistake when it comes to reaching your generation for Jesus?
Sugarcoating it, you know, making it seem like you could still be a Christian and have fun, the fun that, you know, the wrong fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not how it's supposed to be.
What would you say parents should be looking for when choosing a church for their family?
You know, something more authentic, you know, no...
Warts and all, huh?
Yeah, you know, just, I don't know, kind of, like, analyze why you like the church. Analyze why, you know, are they telling me what I want to hear so that I keep coming back? Mm-hmm. Why does my kid like it? Do they go and, like, get pizza or something? Or is it a social thing? Or is it really changing your life? And, you know, I think you could see that.
Do you think any progress you made in your life here at Shepherd's Hill was because people told you what you wanted to hear?
Oh, no way. I mean, there's times when I wanted to hear certain things, but, you know, they're going to tell you the truth, and then they're never going to steer clear of the truth, even if it hurts. And, you know, there's been plenty of times where, you know, your feet get stepped on, but those are the times where you grow the most, and I look back and remember those things all the time, and so definitely not.
Sarah, our time is up today. I am grateful for the fact that we got to nab you before you got out of the gates and headed off in life, and we wouldn't have gotten to hear your story, but thank you for taking time to be on Licensed to Parent.
Anytime. I really enjoyed it.
This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, with our host, Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill. I'm Rich Rosel. So glad that you've joined us today. And let me remind you that you can find archives of past programs. You can also subscribe to our blog, which is entitled Insight for Today's Culture. And you can even download a free copy of Trace's ebook, America's Youth Culture Manifesto. You'll find all that on our website at licensedtoparent.org. On behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosel, inviting you back again next time when once again you can renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.